Is there someone you can't live without? Real Life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you will hear from Darla De Leon, who had low self-esteem and found herself codependent upon a man.
I think that I've said this before, and my codependency was with my mom. I was very codependent to her, and I felt like if anything ever happened to my mom, I don't know how I would ever live. And there may be people listening that feel this way, where we put our heart and our trust and hope in someone. But the problem is when that person lets us down, and that's our like plumb line, the whole world falls apart. And so fortunately, I came to know the Lord. And things changed, and I made Jesus my plumb line. But when we depend on other people, things can fall apart.
No, absolutely. But, you know, codependency actually is something that they usually describe as physically abusive or sometimes emotionally abusive relationships. And not saying that that's what that was.
No.
But that's what a lot is out there, is because a person becomes really, really almost just too sensitive on how someone else feels. And it's like their life is all about making the other person happy. Even if that person abuses me, even if that person emotionally abuses me, it's my job to make them happy. And a lot of people find themselves in this trap because they want that approval or they want that relationship. They feel like, how can I make it if I don't have this relationship?
They're so desperate.
It is. And that doesn't describe you and your mom. I think that was more of like a symbiotic type of relationship. But here, what a lot of people talk about is it's something that's very detrimental to one person in that party. And, you know, how do you break out of that, honestly? How do you get out of codependency? And the Bible does a very interesting verse here. It says in Proverbs 29, verses 25, it says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." And that's interesting because if we have fear of man or we're afraid of what people think so much, or everything is built upon that, it's actually going to be a snare. And so it's not just abusive codependent relationships. It's also just heart, like kind of codependent relationships that don't have physical, emotional abuse. It can become a snare to us.
And that was how it was in my life. And it's like you can't go anywhere unless that person's there. It's a security blanket, really. It becomes your security blanket. And when you put your hope in something other than God, that's idolatry. So really, we're committing idolatry when we say, my hope is in this person or this thing or this drug, whatever it is, we can be dependent on. So let's hear what Darla has to say and how she got free from it right here after the break.
Colorado Christian University College of Adult and Graduate Studies presents Hope Fest 2017, Saturday, June 10th at Centennial Park Amphitheater. Tickets are just $39 and are on sale at www.thehopefest.com. Less than 5,000 tickets are available, so get them while you can. One day, one stage, 10 huge bands, and 5,000 of your closest friends. Hope Fest 2017.
Did you know that we have a way for you to win free tickets to Hope Fest? This week, we're giving away two free tickets to one lucky winner. Call us to enter to win the drawing. Our number is 877-480-4477. That's 877-480-4477. We'll be speaking at Hope Fest and would love to meet you at our Real Life Radio Show booth. Hope to see you there. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
We have with us Darla De Leon, and she's going to share how she overcame being codependent.
Wow.
And so let's welcome to the show, Darla. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and share what God's done in my life.
Yes, you have an amazing story, and I know that you grew up in a situation where your dad was an alcoholic, which left you with very low self-esteem and had a poor value of yourself. Tell me what happened in school.
So I grew up as a child in West Virginia who had an alcoholic father, who was so before I was even born. And so all during school, it's a very small community. Everyone knows everything about you and what you're doing and who you're doing it with. And so I got really bullied and everything in school behind my dad's addiction. So really bad.
So they must have known, obviously, his situation. And you grew up just feeling less than everyone and even non-existent from what I understand. And I know that as you started to grow, you met this guy named Michael. Tell me how you felt.
Wow. So because of my father's alcoholism, I felt like he didn't love me enough to stop drinking. So I would have very low self-worth and low self-esteem. And so in my early 20s, I met this man, and this man was like giving me goosebumps and butterflies, and I couldn't breathe. And that man was Michael DeLeon, and he was everything to me. I put him on a pedestal, and he was my idol. Yeah. And so I became very codependent upon him.
But there was a problem. He had a different idol, and it wasn't you. Tell me about that.
So my husband had a problem with crack cocaine, and crack cocaine took him so far away from me that it left such a void in me. It felt like my whole chest was empty. I had no feeling whatsoever. And it was a situation that I had never been in before with that type of an addiction. And so it just left me so empty.
And you had asked him to show you why he loved that more than you. Because again, here you are feeling like your dad loved his alcohol more than you. And now you're married to this guy who loves crack more than you.
Oh.
When you said to him, show me why you love your crack more than me, what happened?
So he's gone so far away from me, and I had such a void, you know, that I told him I fought with him for a little while to stop doing that, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And so I was so codependent upon him. I said, you know what? You love that so much more than you love me. I want you to show me why. And he did. He showed me how to smoke crack cocaine.
And that led you to 8 months being incarcerated. You ended up addicted, started stealing, and you guys were both on a very bad track. Then here you were incarcerated.
Right.
Hey, Darla, so I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that you were codependent upon this man, what did you mean by that?
So codependent to me meant that he controlled everything in my life. He controlled our money. If he said to jump, I just asked how high.
Oh.
If he said to go and do this, I would go and do that. I depended on him for everything. My feelings, my livelihood, everything.
Wow.
So tell me now about this time where you were incarcerated.
Behind our drug addiction, smoking crack was very expensive. And so we were shoplifting. Michael was doing some burglaries and things like that. And so I wasn't very good at it. And so I ended up being incarcerated for about 8 months in 3 different jails.
Wow.
In New Jersey, which was out of my element, so to speak, for me. It was very difficult.
And then you were laying in bed one day. You didn't want to get out. You had a back problem and ended up reading the Bible. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, so I was really struggling. I had a lot of back issues, couldn't sleep. I was so lonely for my family, for my husband. You know, I just didn't come out of my cell. The only thing I was able to take with me through all of that time incarceration was a Bible that someone had given me. And so I just, you know what, I'm not coming out of my cell. I am just going to open up my Bible and just read. And it actually opened up to John. So I started reading John. I read all day until, you know, I felt like God just wasn't hearing me and God just didn't care about me. And, you know, so I slammed my Bible shut. I sat on the side of my cell and I looked up and I'm like, God, why am I going through this? I should not be like this. This should not be my life right now. I thought you were with me. I thought you loved me. I thought I was your child. I don't understand. Why am I going through this? This is so painful for me. I laid down on my side, just trying to get comfortable, and I hear this voice in my head said, touch the top of your head. So I touch the top of my head with my pinky, and then the voice in my head says, touch the middle of your back. Touch the middle of my back where it hurt. Touch the soles of both of your feet. I touched the soles of both of my feet. And then as soon as my arm came back down to rest on my leg, on my side, I literally felt a blanket, like someone coming around me and totally encompassing me with the warmest blanket I have ever felt in my life. And I fell instantly in a deep sleep.
And then the next day you go out, there was a girl who was in the same place where you were at, who was constantly on you, causing you problems. And what did she say?
the next morning I come out of my cell because we have to go out for breakfast. And this girl who was just like giving me all kinds of stuff, she comes out of her cell and she sees me. And she stops in her tracks in the middle of all of this sea of women. And she looks at me and very loudly, she's like, "Oh my God, I see Jesus in you."
Wow.
And that absolutely floored me.
Wow. That's amazing. So she saw Jesus in you. And from that moment, you ended up finally getting out of there. And you had flip-flops when you left, but it was snowing outside. It was freezing. And yet God had one more encounter that really changed your life. Tell me about that.
Yes. They let me out of jail and I had to go across the street to catch the bus. And it was literally pouring snow, like 2 inches in. And I had flip-flops and a short-sleeve shirt on, jeans, and no jacket, no anything else. So I walk across and I'm waiting for the bus to come. And this lady comes out of the college where the bus stop was. And she looks at me, she gets in her car, and she goes out in the parking lot. But then I see her come all the way back around, and it was not easy to do. She comes all the way and stops right in front of me at the bus stop. And she rolls her window down, and she's like, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm fine, thank you." She's like, "Could you use some gloves?" I said, "Ma'am, if you'd like to bless me with gloves, I would gladly and be very appreciative and take those." So this lady gave me some very expensive leather gloves. So she left. I'm putting on the gloves and I feel inside. The lady had put a $20 bill inside of one of those gloves. Mm. As I pull it out, I hear God audibly tell me, "You see, I never left you. I never forsook you. You are my child. Now go and serve me."
Ooh.
And it was that moment that I knew what my purpose in life was. Everything has changed. Everything changed for me.
And now you have a ministry, you're helping people to get out of addiction, and your husband is also free, which is amazing.
That is awesome.
From the drug addiction, and you both are just reaching people left and right. And so we're going to pray right now for our guests who are struggling with addiction or codependency and all the pains that they've suffered. And we just want to thank you for sharing your life with us and how God is real and has changed your life.
Thank you.
Something that really stood out to me was about codependency was, you know, I think we can always struggle with that where we find a person and we need that acceptance to the point where we'll do anything past any of our morals or anything where we might feel uncomfortable with. And I sense that there's someone who's listening who's going through something like that, where that if you get rejection from a certain individual, it'll be too much. So you'd rather just give in and do whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, right now, I'm praying, Lord God, for your power and your might and for us to feel your acceptance, God, your total acceptance, so that we wouldn't have to put anyone else on a pedestal, but that you would be on the pedestal of our lives. Jesus, we receive your acceptance. We receive you. Now we ask you would receive us. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. He loves you so much. You're listening to Real Life.